And I think that's everything. Cool. Hello and welcome to episode 15 of the I literally just almost called it the podcast that I just listened to earlier today, and that's not what we're doing.
No, you haven't listened to it yet. You'll have to listen to it in the future, KT. Get it right.
Yes, I have to do the future podcast, not the current podcast. Hello and welcome to episode 15 of the Provisional Nerf News Network podcast. I'm KT. I'm here with my regular co-hosts, JoelKing627 and VileMod. Say what's up.
What up?
As always, this is the companion podcast to episode 15 of the Provisional Nerf News Network show itself. We will probably assume that you have seen some things that are in that show, so it's probably worth watching the show first if you haven't already, but also, I mean, it's probably fine to listen to the show. We are really lucky today to have a special guest who popped on at the last second, really just because we haven't had a guest in a while and we really wanted to have a guest again. And we just kind of wanted it to be someone who we thought was really fun, who we could vibe with. And so we have Not Nuff Nerf here on the podcast with us. How's it going, Not Nuff?
What's going on, everybody, and my fellow foam fan peeps? It's your boy, Not Nuff Nerf. Thank you, KT, and thank you, JoelKing, for bringing me on last minute. You guys are a riot. This looks like a lot of fun, so ready to get to it.
Welcome to the show.
So glad to have you on board. I feel like probably the people who listen to our show know who you are and have seen your work. Your channel, it feels like, sprung up out of nowhere and has become, I think, one of the better quality channels doing Nerf reviews and Nerf content. Where did you come from? Did you spring forth fully formed from the depths of YouTube? Or have you been doing this for a long time? Have you done other content creation in the past? Like, what got you into doing this?
Well, first of all, my blood, sweat, and tears completely deny the argument that I just sprung out of nowhere. It has been a journey for sure. But yeah, it seems like that. I've always been into Nerf. I've always been a fan of jumping on YouTube and watching my favorite channels like everybody else. You know, the Koops, the Drax, and always, you know, from a real life perspective, having to obliged to daily responsibilities of real life and all that, I always felt that there was some kind of secret hidden fantasy world in Nerf. It just holds something special where you just feel like you could just detach from the real life and just kind of absorb yourself in it. And I always wanted to be like, man, it would be nice to just be like Coop doing something for a living that you love. Obviously that's still a distant dream for everybody, but you know, doing something like that, something fun like that, and at the same time making a living out of it, and it's a hobby that becomes real life. That was always like a huge aspiration. But I've always just played Nerf with my friends and family, and I was like, man, you know what? I think the next step, the logical step, I'm already doing this. I'm already going out thrifting. I'm already plinking in the house, breaking things, shooting my girlfriend. She's shooting me. Why not just put it on camera? So yeah, a friend of mine just told me that you should just set up a camera and press record. And, you know, let nature take its course. And I was like, you know what? Why not? And it just became a lot more. Where they were wrong is that nature just doesn't take its course. It takes a hell of a lot of work.
Yeah. It's so true.
To sit there and edit and have the patience for that. You actually want to, I was talking with JoelKing earlier today about this. You want to sit there and just play with your blasters, but you can't. You have to worry about volumes and camera angles and, you know, all this other optics. Just because there's going to be an audience now involved. So it's a whole nother layer to it, but it's got to keep it fun somehow.
You're doing a great job. I will say this right now. I've said it before and I've said it again. Your channel is one of the few times that YouTube actually recommended a channel that I had no previous knowledge of.
I actually had a desire to click on the video.
It's crazy. I see, until this day, it's such a big science to me. It's like particle physics trying to learn how this algorithm thing works. It's so bizarre.
I don't think anyone understands it, like, in the slightest at all. It makes no sense at all.
I don't think that the people who programmed it understand it. My main channel, Family Foam Sport, I haven't actually posted a video on Family Foam Sport in a couple months. In that time, I've gained, my follower count has increased by like a third. I just crossed 2,000 followers.
Congrats. That's
and
awesome.
Yeah, and I'm excited about that, but also, like, I haven't posted anything in a while, and I guess I should. And I have videos that I want to make for that channel in the near future.
We're getting that
but
PNN fame transferring over.
Well, I mean, maybe. It's just interesting that, like, normally, you know, the traditional wisdom is that one of the things that YouTube looks for is consistent production and consistent posting. And, like, the rate of increase in followers has been going up while I have not been posting.
You know what?
That's me.
And part of
completely goes against the logic. Yeah.
And to answer to complete that original answer of the question you had asked me, I do have another channel. So my venture into YouTube has started in the early 2010s. I have an outdoor channel where I mainly review cutlery and survival gear. It's called Not Enough Knives, funny enough. But it's kind of like a top-down tabletop review, kind of like what Vile's got going on. It's not like me showing my face or nothing. But yeah, I have not posted a video. I've gone 4 or 5 months at a time sometimes not posting a video to that channel. And it feels like the least I'm active on that particular channel, the more it grows. Like, it's crazy. Right. So I can understand what you're saying, talking about your channel and inactivity. It's so weird. It's like 200 subs in 6 months. Like, I have to grind for that normally.
Uploaded in so long.
When was the last time Vile uploaded anything besides that one video of you just with the pilot going...
Yeah, that was a joke clip that was all of like 2 seconds long. I didn't post anything. Basically, when I moved into this house, I did a recording of saying like, "Hey, I'm back," sort of, and just kind of giving an update of where I was. And I haven't posted anything since. So it's been a year and a half, and it was like, oh my god, it somehow went from. I'm almost at 1,000 subs. It went from...
Yeah. And you're like not doing anything.
I think I went from like 400 subs to almost 1,000. I'm literally just like knocking on 1,000 recently. And I'm like, I haven't posted anything in over a year and a half.
Yeah.
The material, the catalog that you do have right now, how big is it? Like, how many videos did you initially do?
It was not... it wasn't a lot because I was kind of like dipping my toe into it, sort of like, you know, some of the other people. I was in San Diego, so I had a really good thrifting scene. Some people asked me to do some thrifting videos, so I started doing that. I didn't really like them as much. Not because necessarily people don't get an enjoyment out of it, but I always felt kind of bad that my geographic location was really good for thrifting. And I just felt like it was sort of a... It was more of a look what I have, you don't kind of a deal. It just felt wrong.
I don't know if y'all saw Captain Xavier's thrifting video from Maryland Mayhem.
Oh, in the East Coast one.
Well, because the funny thing is, I hit those same thrift stores right before him, but I also didn't find anything. But the whole thing for him was going. You know, he's so used to his area and how just like.
Plentiful,
constant. Yeah, it's so plentiful.
It really changes. Like,
And Maryland was just nothing.
Like, you look at a Xavier video, it's like 10 bazillion blasters, and you look at like what Dorian in our Discord finds, he'll find just a shelf that's just like 100 blasters just there.
Yeah.
And then you look at one of my thrift stores, and there's like 3.
Vile, I'll tell you, that's a subject that you'll never win at, because when I used to watch the Ohio thrift videos from American Foam and the Texas videos from, I think KB Foam Strike is his name, I used to be so jealous. I was like, these guys have like, they turned down Strifes on the shelf because they got so many. And it's like, even now, when I go out, I'll find one good blaster like every 3 stores, and people say that I have it too good. So it's something I don't think you could ever win with the, you know, I'm better than you, my stores are better than yours, kind of. In fact, just thrive in it.
We really should move forward because we have not even gotten to the part of the podcast where we mention the stuff that hasn't made the show. But all of that is to say, we're so glad you're here today, Not Enough, and the YouTube algorithm is a mystery. moving on, we always talk briefly about the things that did not make the show. And what we actually did this episode is we took a lot of the small things that normally wouldn't make the show and we sort of worked them into other stories. So, you know, we had a lot of different reports of like, oh, this is on shelves now. This is an Amazon listing now. And we just kind of mushed all that into one story, which I feel like worked pretty well. But we did legitimately skip over Dart Zone's glow-in-the-dark gel blasters. that are coming out. We knew about them previously, but they are now, I think there was like an official announcement or something. I don't know. We don't even usually report on gel. That's the main reason we skipped it. But if you're into gel, Dart Zone has glow in the dark ones coming out.
Is this what their podcast, their last one was about? The one that got very poor views?
I don't know. I haven't watched it.
Yeah, me neither.
That's part of the reason it has poor views, I guess.
No one cares about gel.
Because I hadn't heard of it till now, so I figured that much.
Oh yeah, we got, well, there were some new skins actually, like just now. There were a couple more Sonic the Hedgehog skins.
I saw there's a couple new Sonic the Hedgehog ones, yeah.
Thanks for that, Axel Sorax. Get another shout out.
Well, and we'll talk about the skins thing too in a little bit, because you know, we talked about this previously where it's like there's going to be so many skins. That's
it's
the whole
actual
point
spam
of the
there's
concept,
gonna be
right?
More skins than mm-hmm. there are Joltry skins.
And we can't do an entire news story on every single skin that comes out of the same blaster that we've seen a million times. But, and you know, that ties a lot into the whole thing with Nerf Taiwan. And anyway, we will talk about that later on today. But the last thing that did not make the show that was reported to us was a, and maybe Vile can speak to this because I think Vile did the research on this.
Yeah.
There's a shell ejecting slamfire shotgun from XYL.
Yeah, it was, so they were talking about it and I found it actually on other sites. I think it was on Boo Blasters or whatever that.
Boo Blasters?
Boo Blaster, yeah. It apparently, I looked at it and that was released over 2 months ago. It was released early May over on that website, and the link was for another website that was now offering it. And I just looked at it, I was like, well, it's another Chinese, you know, shell ejecting thing. You know, we have a Colonel Wasp, and this blaster has been out for months now. We kind of missed the boat on that if we really wanted to talk about it. And it just didn't seem really like there was much to go on, to be honest. Just it again.
Also, the like near impossibility of getting one.
Well, it wasn't just, I think it was Zen Duo Toys, I think, also has it. So like multiple places. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And you know, I'm looking back at the post for it because I haven't, like, since we decided not to run it, I haven't even been like looking at the post about it. Mm-hmm. Apparently they're the same product exists under a different name by a different company. Like it's the same product.
You guys are talking about the XYL M870, correct?
Yeah.
Freaking sexy, right. Dude.
It does
look cool.
It is pretty cool, yeah. But yeah, it was again, it's been around, people,
it's an old product.
Yeah, people can technically have already gotten a hold of it at this point, and it's sort of a, you know, we're trying to do something that happened in the past 2 weeks, not necessarily something that happened 2 or 3 months ago kind of a deal. And that's why it was like, you know what, maybe for time wise we're just gonna clip this one and cut it out.
So this shotgun always existed, but it just climbed its way into relevancy because XYL, a big name company from China, just happened to reskin it. Is that what happened?
Well, it wasn't even that. The XYL had released it early May as well.
How did it not make the spotlight?
XYL
is a big deal by now.
Yeah, and again,
I think we just missed it. It was just not on our radar, which can happen, by the way.
They didn't push it like they probably didn't push it like the unicorn.
If you see something new, tell us. We can't report on news we don't know about.
Well, and also, you know, the unicorn has voices from inside the hobby, specifically speaking for it, since it
involved
was, you know,
with
designed
them. Yeah, they
in
had
tandem.
Val, and they had
Yep.
That was another thing. It was the website that it was released on was Mech Potato, and I that was the thing. Is like it had just got listed up on Mech Potato, and again, there were other sites who had had it months ago. So it wasn't, again, it was just one of those things of, well, just because this site's carrying it doesn't necessarily mean it's like a new product. You know, it's just someone. And I even looked at Mech Potato and I was like trying to do my research on it. I was like, I can't even order this thing. It doesn't ship to the United States. Like, what is it even? Yeah. And it wasn't necessarily cheap, but I was like, what does it even matter? Like, you know, the majority of people who are even like paying attention to this aren't even going to be able to get a hold of it from this website. So it just felt like we would be pointing people in a direction who might have been interested, who then couldn't even get it. And it's like,
yeah, well, it was a similar situation to Diana, which was released on a Chinese only website last episode, which we've reported on the blaster when it was initially announced, but it didn't really make sense to do a story on this blaster and be like, But if you are in the United States, you can't buy it anyway.
Which is like our most of our audience. So
it is most of our audience,
not
according
all,
to the
granted,
analytics.
But just most.
But a lot of it. So, yep. If that was your story and you wanted it, that's why. Didn't make the show. Sorry. First big thing I want to talk about tonight, though, is a sort of a jumble of the long-awaited Nerf ball and the mythical half dart from Nerf that seems to be becoming a reality, and the very bizarre way that Nerf seems to be. Like, someone at Hasbro apparently told Nerf's mark, or someone, some intern, like, oh yeah, Instagram has a new social media network, I'll tell you what, do whatever you want, just do whatever you want, it's fine.
That's what it feels like.
Free reigns. Well, go for it.
The thing that's always thrown me right is I mentioned this the first time that they posted on Threads about half darts. They were making jokes in the comments about their legal team, and they were making jokes about, like, not being allowed. Their legal team told them they're not allowed to use the, like, gun emoji, which is a squirt gun on most platforms. And they usually, they don't joke about stuff like that. Like, a brand like X-Shot makes a lot of sort of, like, inside the office type jokes. Nerf does not. And so something is different with the social media platform on Threads, and it's allowed them to do this, like, teasing thing of, and I don't know if they're just trying to be more like Dart Zone or X-Shot when they're talking to the hobby, as opposed to the way that they talk to their larger, sort of like selling to parents audience. It's very, very weird.
It's nothing like what we normally see with Nerf interacting at all. The account is quite sassy, honestly.
Yeah,
it's kind of fun to watch.
It is fun to watch.
I love,
like,
Brett
is not worth running it.
Had a comment.
You guys are talking about that cryptic message where they gave multiple choice about half darts or
yeah,
and then they did another one which showed an AccuStrike dart and a pair of scissors.
Yeah,
just sitting next to each other on the grass.
And of course, Brett had the most hilarious response and cut an elite dart like lengthwise and said, "Did I do it right?"
That's really good. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, really,
well, and that's significant too, right? Because
AccuStrike darts haven't been on the store shelves since Kinect 4 Blast.
So the choice of digging through a bin somewhere to find an AccuStrike dart specifically to do this post, that's not an accident. They didn't just reach in the dart bin and take a dart at random.
No.
They made that decision. And it's interesting because other than the, like, Kinect 4 thing, the, like, shoot at the Kinect 4 board set, we haven't seen elite size AccuStrike darts in ages.
Yeah, it's been a long time. The last blaster that included them was, like, what? I think it was the AccuTrooper and what's the repaint of the Rapid Strike called? What did they call that thing?
Stratohawk?
Stratohawk, yeah, that's the one.
If they can knock both birds out, make a half AccuStrike dart, that's it. I think that's redeeming enough that they could probably win part of the community.
It's good for flywheelers, and my guess is that whatever pro blaster they're going to do is going to tie into Nerf ball, and it's going to be a flywheeler. Because if you look at the rules of the game, you cannot be using both hands to operate the blaster.
Yeah, so the rules to the game dropping is also kind of a big deal, and this thing where you have to hold your blaster on the center post for a minute to release the ball, but then you still have to vie for control of the ball, is kind of wild. That seems like a lot. For anyone that's... I guess
so.
Yeah,
it seems
like
an excessive length of time, honestly. Like, a lot can happen in a minute.
I definitely get... I appreciate the idea that you might have to do that, and it requires that your team would cover you in order for you to do that for the whole time. I want to believe that it doesn't have to be a concurrent minute, that you go up there and you hold it down for 20 seconds and then maybe you get tagged, but the 20 seconds stays on the clock.
That would make a lot more sense, honestly.
It would all. The other thing I was thinking about, you know, this, if it was just that the ball was going to be tossed in the air, right? Like, you could just have a referee do that. Obviously, it's like cool points to have a gizmo that does it. But I wonder if, like, if you're on one team and you touch your thing to one side of the launcher, and then you get tagged out after 35 seconds or whatever, and then the other team comes and they hold it, their blaster on it for 35 seconds, and then you come back and complete your minute, maybe it launches it a little, like, more in your direction.
I don't know. That'd be kind of cool.
It doesn't say anything about that here, but this is not even a complete patent. So we can only kind of make assumptions, but it does seem like a fun game type.
Yeah, it definitely looks like something cool. Like, I want to try that. That looks fun.
Yeah.
So let me get this right. Nerf, as a blaster manufacturer, is actually pitching an idea for a game type, something that normally the community does, Nerf is doing, correct? Or is it going to, they're just going to launch the gear and a pair of instructions and say, by the way, here's a new
they're actually doing the whole sport. They're doing the whole sport.
They're doing, okay, so they're, from the ground.
They haven't done something like this since the old dart tag.
Yeah. I was going to say,
well, and
tag.
I don't know if you caught this story a few episodes ago, not enough, but there's, in the UK, there's a series of, they're calling them like Nerf camps, and it seems like it's like a summer campy kind of activity. But you go, these like sort of fancy campsite places you can go to for vacation in the UK. That one of the things that they have there is like a Nerf game, and it seems like they might be using it as a test bed for Nerf ball. But we haven't been able to find anybody who's like gone to it or tried it out, so we just have no information about it. But they did it in partnership with Nerf, and it seems to share a lot of qualities with Nerf ball. So like, it really does seem like they're testing it and they're messing around with it, and they're planning on running an actual. And I honestly suspect they're going to try to run an actual sporting event. The fact that they picked specifically a basketball court size for this is a really smart move. That means that there are a lot of indoor and outdoor spaces that already exist that are set up for sport that will work perfectly to play the sport. Mm-hmm. It does seem like they're trying to build this for growth. And if you haven't seen this, their catchphrase is that it is the future of sport.
It's funny because it's a similar setup to how, like when I played down in San Diego, the way that they set up for their indoor events is
for speed dart stuff.
It's sort of like a speed dart. It has little barriers, and you know, sometimes they'll put like a flag in the middle, and the point is just to try to get the flag and then take it back. So it's sort of a capture the flag, but not really. Mm-hmm. They'll do a couple different game types that are sort of like that, and you always are in a basketball, you know, sized court, and you always start on either side. You know, both teams are on either side as well, and when you look at how they've kind of set it up, it's almost like they were taking notes from hobbies and clubs and stuff like that that do very similar ones. So it's interesting to see Hasbro finally kind of, you know, taking notice and or trying to come up with at least their own variant, if they will, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, well,
you know, this isn't dissimilar from what was happening on the competitive field at Maryland Mayhem, where you could theoretically win the game without ever touching the ball. But it would be challenging. Obviously, you get more points by getting the ball, but like, you do get a point for each tag you get. So a lot of games will probably be won with two ball captures and 10 tags.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like multiple ways to do it, and I think that's really cool.
Well, this is Nerf's way of entering the event hosting or game arena, kind of like with the Dart Zone Pro Tour, but with their own game style.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the Dart Zone thing is interesting. I think that'll be a big difference, is that the Dart Zone thing currently, every event that Dart Zone is running is really a partnership with a local organization where they are sponsoring something. That was the case with what was the thing we reported on like three times, and then it got pushed back due to weather. Dart Zone, the thing in Colorado. Anybody? Bueller? Anybody remember what it was called? We talked about it for like three episodes in a row.
Tried to forget it after a while because it was too much. And
what,
I don't
Jolt, did you say it? Jolt, did you
was
say
it? Like Blaster Bash or something?
Blaster Bash. Thank you. Ding, 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 ding. Jolt got it. Blaster Bash was actually a partnership with a local organization in Colorado. And they said on the podcast that they wanted to do them in other places. Nerf has the backing of Hasbro and theoretically could just run their own events. I imagine they would still be hiring somebody, but they're going to do it fully in their own name, like DartTag was. So it'll be interesting to see what approach they take. It'll also be interesting to see how widely available the actual half dart equipment, you know, like in all the Nerf ball pictures, it's literally just upgraded stripes. Right.
Yeah. It was like stripes with half dart kits, basically. And
yeah, with
weird.
Like worker parts on them.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're not going to do that. But like, it'll be interesting to see how widely available the Nerf ball gear is. Like, can you call Nerf and even if it's really expensive, just buy a whole Nerf ball field kit?
I assume the blaster at least will be available.
Are they having a separate branch that's you know, focusing on the marketing of just the gear alone, or does it have to all be like packaged into the game with the rental with everything?
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I would. That sounds pretty cool. Like, if you can just call them and like rent, like you get the ball bases and the cover as long as you like prove that you have a space that you can do the game in, and the blasters if it's a specific blaster. I guess we don't know yet. Obviously, this is going to be the same limitation that the Dart Zone events have, where they're going to expect you to use Nerf blasters. They're not going to, like, if you're doing an event, and even if you're just, like, renting their gear, they're going to expect you to use their gear, I suspect.
Yeah, I would imagine.
We'll see what kind of enforcement they have on that. So what's everybody's sort of verdict on this so far?
I'm excited to see what happens, but I don't know. I feel like whatever short dart stuff they do, it's still going to pale in comparison to other things, just because it's very clear that they're wanting to go with AccuStrikes, which instantly means no springers. And, well, you know my opinions on the springer versus flywheel debate.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to say. Nerf made a very, very elaborately prepared teaser video of this Nerf ball thing. And it's coming up on 12 months now that they tease that. And it's absolutely been radio silence on that topic since then. So at this point, I'm kind of like at the mindset, me personally, where show me and I'll believe it. It's not that I don't believe in Hasbro. I've seen him accomplish some amazing things in the past. But at this point, with this particular sport, I have to see something materialize for me to be like, okay, all right,
yeah.
I'll entertain that. Because right now, it's absolutely. Literally just a and especially with these cryptic threads, you know, teasers, it just...
Yeah.
Come on, guys, give me something I can munch on, you know, throw me a morsel.
Now they've teased it now in a way that, like, they can't not have something come out in August, right? Like,
yeah.
you don't post something like this if there isn't a product in the shipping pipeline.
Yeah, they cornered themselves in a way, you're right.
Yeah.
But we'll have to see for sure. I mean,
we will, yeah, it's just going to be what it is. Vile, you have anything you want to say about it before we move on?
I was going to say it was kind of in the same boat as Not Enough. I feel because we've seen them patent other things before. You know, we've seen them do stuff. Sometimes they're just grabbing the patent so that way they've kind of got it in case they want to do something yeah. with it. But they then, you know, nothing comes to fruition from it. So I'm in the same kind of field of, you know, if I see something, all right. Now we can actually do so. Again, if we saw one that is actually a like half dart of a Nerf branded half dart, okay. Now there's something to be talking about. Now we can start speculating. Now we can start getting excited because now we can see what are they planning? What's really coming up? Like the cryptic stuff is a bit weird.
Yeah.
I assume they're trying to build up hype for something that all the hype died out after the first couple months last year and everyone kind of just forgot.
Yeah,
so they're trying to build it back up so that when they release it, everyone's
true.
Like, "Yo, Nerf half dart."
As long as it doesn't fall
we'll
flat.
See what happens.
That's my other thing. If you build up all this hype, and then they're like, you know, we're just going to have this particular, you know, darts. We're bringing back AccuStrike, so we're cutting the bullshit, and that's what that thing was about. It's like, oh my god, was that really? You're just bringing back into your old dart types again. We have so many like options now.
Plot twist: the blaster that shoots AccuStrikes is a zombie strike blaster that is supposed to look like a giant pair of scissors. They took the ceremonial scissors and turned it into a zombie strike blaster.
Yeah,
You know, AccuStrikes are so much better than elites, but like we are many years past the development of darts in this hobby.
Yeah, AccuStrikes
are
no longer the major... best. The tips don't compress as much as like Dart Zone waffle tips do, so they're technically less safe. They're still decent, but they're not like quite as nice.
Yeah, but like, you know, it makes sense from a marketing perspective for them to go with the technology that they have, but like that doesn't mean that the hobby is going to jump and chomp at the bit to get our hands on them. You know, we all have bins of AccuStrike, so. But whether or not Nerf actually delivers on Nerf Ball, there is another ball in the hobby that is, in fact, being delivered on. And I, for one, am really, really excited about it. Enough so that I already ordered one. And it's one of these things that I ordered before we report on it, because I have a feeling there's only a few currently available because it's still sort of in a prototype phase. But a creator in the hobby... who is relatively new as a creator, but as I understand has been around for a while, going by Mostly Harmless, has released the Frag Ball, which is a silicone Nerf grenade. And I don't know if any of y'all have ever played with any of the like plastic, like airsoft grenades.
I have one of the T238 ones. I have like their supposedly timed one. Can never figure out how to make the timing work. It's kind of fun, but, like, also, like, I can't throw that at somebody.
When are you going to use it?
Yeah.
I don't want to just sit here and be an advertisement for this thing, but I'm excited about it. Have you seen this, Not Enough?
Yeah, it reminds me of those mines, the old school mines that used to float in the water for the boats to hit.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It's so cute. Yeah. It's like, it looks like... Now, does it activate on one of the balls being pressed in and that releases the air diaphragm, or how does it?
So the way that it's supposed to work, and we pop video in the show of this, but when you throw it at something, there's enough compression when it hits to make all of the things pop out.
So there's an air vacuum in the center or a bubble. And then
I don't think there's even an air vacuum. There's just enough like when it hits something, it seems like.
Like enough deformity. It's enough deformity in itself just to let all the balls fire out in all directions. I'm looking at a mini video now of it hitting a tree. It's hilarious. I love it.
It's really good. So I'm really excited about that. And I'm really excited about feeling like the hobby finally kind of has a grenade.
A grenade.
Yeah, that's the one thing is like every kid wants a grenade for like their...
Every kid wants a Nerf grenade.
When they're playing and military or something. And... Now you can
finally.
I just want to see one. We gotta have the pineapple grenade shaped one. Just saying, it's gotta happen.
We'll get there. I mean, this is still a little bit prototypey. I'm excited to get one, and I can tell you more about how well it does or doesn't work once I get it. But I feel like it's the kind, like looking at it being thrown and it activating, it really does send rounds just in every direction.
Yeah, I think I think spherical is the only way you would be able to get the effect that it's having now, at least in this prototype, like KT said, in this prototype.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's able to literally send balls 360, like spherically. It's crazy.
True.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. And like, honestly, I wonder, like, if people with more... like event running experience than me have spoken about this at length, that like there isn't a piece of equipment that's like game breaking for Nerf really. But I do think that this
there was talk that the Stampede would break HVZ. There was talk that the Nemesis would break HVZ.
Right. And none of them did. You adjust the rules, you find out that there's actually a limitation to the piece of equipment that you didn't realize. Like it's fine. And this will be fine too, but it does offer play possibilities, I think. Well, I mean, the main thing is they're expensive. One of them is $44, and I was so disappointed that they weren't $42, considering, I don't know if any of y'all have read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, yes. But, believe me, I know where you're going.
Mostly Harmless, and then the $42 price tag would have just been chef's kiss.
Mm-hmm. Mostly Harmless. Yes, that would have been too perfect.
It would have been very good. But I do think, like, if you... These things are going to be hard to carry, right? Like, it's a ball. All the ammo is just attached to the outside. You have to have, like, a big dump pouch to put it on. You have to be able to get it out without losing the balls off the side of it. But if you land it in the right place, it seems like it's going to be very effective.
Yeah, it looks great.
I think it's going to be... really good as a game mechanic.
Yeah.
As like, if, yes. You know, as it's set up in, you know, a cup, you have only a few or whatever per field, per game or something like that. And it's kind of like a, you know, you can get this particular mechanic and use this item. It's like an item that's a pretty, because obviously that's, it can be pretty, you know, game changing if you threw that correctly, or if one team has it and the other team doesn't, you know, because that
I love it. I love it as a thing that you can find and unlock in a game, and then you get a limited number of uses and then it goes away. I really love that idea. And then you still have to technically use it effectively in order for it to do anything good.
Like make it more strategic, so it's not just breaking the game. Yeah.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like finding a secret cache with the grenade in it, and then you can take out the final boss or the bigger zombie or whatever. Yeah. Because I'm thinking this thing is pretty devastating. You need to up the number of zombies in any HVZ like landscape just to use this thing as part of the rules.
Well, and even in like a non-HVZ, like if you have like an objective-based game, like if you know that your opponent's team has unlocked the grenade, that changes your playstyle, because you don't want to be running in a clustered group. Now you need to like spread out and make sure that they can't just take out the whole team by chucking the grenade in the middle of it.
Yeah, that's true. That's what I mean. I think as a game mechanic, it can open up a lot of avenues and a lot of doors for interesting gameplay styles and game mechanics and features and stuff to just add into different things. And it could be HVZs. It could be weird wars. It can be like CQB stuff, even like, you know, where it's got like the kind of like fake buildings and stuff that you do like that. Again, it's the same thing, like clearing a room. Oh, we were able to get the grenade and you know, we've got them hunkered down in a group. We can now chunk it in there. You know, like there's a lot of stuff you could do. I think it's a fun.
I can just imagine the cinematics, like the one guy with the grenade releases it, and then the video slows down to like 2 frames, and everybody's got their mouth open looking at the grenade in the background. I can just imagine it would make good for like that kind of filming too.
Yeah,
I love it.
Like on some PDK stuff, that would be funny.
So I'm excited to get mine. I'm excited to play around with it. I don't know if anyone else plans on trying to order one.
What is it, like $45 for like 10 of them?
Or? It's $44 for one.
Oh wow! So it's prototype.
So again,
I think he's making them by hand.
He's making them by hand. As far as I understand, they're like, it's a mold that silicone gets poured into. He made 2 different sizes. He's selling both sizes, but on the page, he's like, I only actually recommend the smaller size. The big ones are kind of leaky, and their quality just isn't as good. And it's like, okay, I see where we're at right now. But this is the kind of thing that, like, I'm just excited about the possibilities here. And I'm like, I kept looking at it and being like, I need to just get this thing. Like, I'm way too curious to not support this product and, like, see what's up. I'm in a position where I can make a video about
it. You have to make a video about it. I was going to say.
I definitely will. And I'll put it in kids' hands, too, which is my thing.
Yeah.
And see how they, because I know that my kids are, I haven't even told them about it. I'm just going to bring it to them and just see what they do. I'm really excited.
That's going to
really
be fun.
I'm really excited about that. So, super excited for the frag ball. And I'm also super excited to hopefully stump the rest of the crew here with What's That Blaster, this game that we always play on the podcast, where one member of the team, today it's me, picks an official Nerf blaster and reads a slightly modified version of the official description, and the rest of the team tries to guess the name of the blaster. If they guess it without using any lifelines, they get 4 points, but there are 3 lifelines available. They are the original release year of the blaster, the original retail price of the blaster, and the original stock capacity. And, I'm picking today, and we have a guest today, and, you can score points. They won't really do anything. you are welcome to guess along with Vile.
So what do you guys do with the account of points that you keep on record over time? Like
we cry about how far Jolt is ahead.
Okay. So it's just bragging rights. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yep.
Every time you use a lifeline, it deducts from that 4 point maximum.
It deducts from the 4 points, okay. Exactly. Right. So if you use all 3 lifelines and you guess it, it's just 1 point to everybody that's guessing.
Let's do it.
Everybody's ready?
Yep.
All right. So blast your armored hero into action with these blaster name launchers. Load up the ammo and pull back until you're ready to fire, then press the button to send your blank type darts 15 feet in the air. Each launcher sold separately and comes with one ammo. Styles may vary.
One ammo. That's a tough one.
This just has to do with the rules of the game. Is this strictly based on Hasbro products only, or?
This is all Hasbro products.
Okay.
This is all Hasbro Nerf product.
What's coming to mind to me are those weird Joltoids that were for, like, I believe Iron Man 2. There was one for Iron Man, one for War Machine. And they'd fire these, like, figure darts. But that would also came with a secondary dart, so it would come with two darts, technically. So it can't be that. I'm thinking it's definitely some kind of tie-in of some kind, I'm thinking. That's a tough one. You might have beaten me, KT.
Music to my ears, Joel.
Could you read it again? Because it's that beginning part that kind of got me.
Yes. Blast your armored hero into action with these name launchers. Load up the ammo type and pull back until you're ready to fire. Then press the button to send your ammo type 15 feet in the air. Each launcher sold separately and comes with one ammo type. Styles may vary.
Yeah, I think you're onto something here, Joel, because you're armored hero and you're blasting your armored hero into the air. So I don't know of anything else that came with. Because what it sounds like is, did those have like a little parachute or anything with them? Or was it one of those kind of deals? Or did it just fire the little figure?
A little foam like Iron Man.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to remember of like what it had on it.
But they also came with a second dart that was not like an action figure or whatever. So
true, but the way that the marketing would normally try to sell the little action figure thing more than it's going to try to sell the dart.
Yeah, by the description alone, just the inclusion of the word hero alone is automatically sending me to something, whether it's like Superman, Batman, DC, Marvel, something like.
It's definitely a Marvel tie-in.
Yeah, they did all Marvels. DC was Boomco, and I don't know if they did anything else.
I don't think they've done anything else since.
Yeah.
And they're calling it a launcher, not a blast. I mean, I don't know if they call launcher a lot of things more than just blasters, but normally when they talk about launchers, it's something that doesn't really assimilate the shape of a pistol or like a conventional blaster. It's normally something that you wear sometimes. I don't know.
I don't think it's a wearable.
Yeah. So I'm going for something hero, a superhero something, whether it's Marvel or DC or Superman, Batman, one of those.
How about this? Let's ask for release year.
Yeah, I was going to say release year is going to narrow
it down.
Tell us
what movie it ties into.
Yeah, because capacity is not going to give you really much, and even the price doesn't necessarily give you anything either.
Yeah. Go for release year.
Okay.
I'm up for it.
All right.
Are we burning a lifeline cumulatively or as one, we all have to vote?
No, it's everybody's kind of acts together.
Okay, yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay. The release year is 2013.
It's a little
There are so many things that came out.
Now you got to draw on your knowledge of Marvel years.
It would not be Iron Man 2 then. Because Iron Man 2 was before the first Avengers film, which was 2012. This would be 2013, I believe. What movies came out that year? Was that Thor the Dark World and
Avengers?
No, Avengers was 2012.
Okay. Well,
so it was
that
like Thor the Dark
the
World and Iron Man 3.
Following year.
I think. So maybe it's an Iron. Maybe it still is an Iron Man tie-in. Maybe those were Iron Man 3 toys. I forget.
See, there was a couple of generations of the Iron Man, and the only one I can remember name-wise, I don't remember the nomenclature. I didn't even know they made them back in 2013, but the ones that I remember, they're way too new to be this one. Like the Repulsor Blaster, you guys know about that. It's like a gauntlet you wear, kind of like the Spider-Man one. They're all similar, kind of, in a sense. Black Panther has one, too. Something like that, but that's what I had in mind.
Well, it is at least in the right year to be an Iron Man toy. Kind of.
Why are you going for Iron Man?
Because armor.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
I'm going to laugh if it's Captain America. I swear.
When was Captain America the Winter Soldier? When was that? I think that was 2014, maybe? My brain is just dead.
This game does that to you.
They did have an Iron Man gauntlet that was a little bit older, because I remember because I looked it up recently. I was listing some stuff on eBay, some leftover blasters, and it's like golden red, and it extends like halfway up your forearm. That yep. one was, but it was still one. 2014, though. It wasn't that far back as 2012, I don't think. And I forgot what it was called, too.
And that was two shots. That was two shots, I think.
At a time? Or AR?
No, AR.
Smart AR. Okay. Huh.
I think I'm going to go with the Iron Flyer launchers. That's going to be my guess. The ones that shoot the little foam Iron Man. I don't know if this is the right movie they tie in with, but that's the best guess that I've got.
Yeah. Wait, it actually launches an action figure?
Yeah, it launches a little foam Iron Man or a foam war machine.
If that's what it does, then it has to be that one because it says launch your hero.
I'm wondering because of the year. I can't remember if it was a tie-in for Iron Man 2 or Iron Man 3. I thought it was Iron Man 2, but maybe I'm wrong. And honestly, this is the best guess that I've got. So we're going to go with the Iron Flyers blasters because there was one for Iron Man and one for War Machine.
Did make that thing, man. That's so long ago. That must have been the only one of its kind, too.
Fun fact, the extra dart it comes with is the same outer diameter as Ultra.
I do remember them because I saw them one time.
They're like inline jolts, and they fire off of a post.
Oh, my God. I was trying to remember what it was called. I couldn't remember it. And yeah,
I believe it's the Iron Flyers blasters.
If it's Iron Flyer.
I believe that it was right after the first Avengers film, I'm pretty sure. So it would be like 2013, 2014, somewhere in there. I think it was 2013. So do we want to go with the Iron Flyers blasters?
I'll go with it because that's the best. I knew what the blaster was, but I didn't know what it was called. And I'll just go with that.
Is it a wearable or is it like a blaster?
It's like a blaster. It's literally like an inline jolt. Like it like the one that Walcom made all those years ago, except it fires off of a post.
Is it slingshot or does it have a catch?
Like it's got a catch and trigger and everything. It just is instead of having the barrel tilted to.
It's like holding a TV remote and pressing. Okay, I see what you mean.
Think like the what's the out of dirt
Wii,
thing?
The Wii pop up. The bottom button. Yeah. I know what you mean. Oh yeah, the out of dart's a little like
yeah,
the
glass like that. That you can,
yeah,
they're like that. So do we want to go with that? Do we want to go with that?
I'll go with it.
Iron Flyers.
Iron Flyers blasters, yes.
Okay, for 3 points, you guess an Iron Flyers.
Yep.
To quote the Nerf Wiki, the Iron Flyers are Nerf blasters that were released in 2013 to help promote the film Iron Man 3. You are correct. That is the blaster that I picked.
Boom!
I'm
going to
drop a picture of it in the chat for your reference.
I love how I instantly got it and then immediately questioned myself.
I was so ready for you to back off of it and not come back to it. I was like, oh, this is going to be juicy, but you came back to it.
Iron Man 1 was 2008 and Iron Man 2 was 2010. So I was like, when did Iron Man 3 come out? Damn, you got it, Jolt. That was good.
Yep. This is what happens all the time.
Jolt doesn't disappoint, man.
I was kind of just crossing my fingers that he wouldn't know that, but that's never a
KT,
safe bet with
KT,
Jolt.
It's a freaking Joltoid.
Well, that is true. You're right. It is Jolt-esque.
It just launches a foam Iron Man instead of an elite dart.
Yeah. And it, I mean, okay, I've had this conversation mostly on TikTok, right? But like, what is and isn't a Joltoid? It's a Joltoid in that it is a, you pull, like it has a, it's like, a single shot and it's a plunger, but it does
it's
not
the same
have the barrel.
Design. It's got the same catch design.
But the barrel is in line with the plunger tube. The barrel is in line with the plunger tube, and it shoots off a post, not inside a barrel. There's a lot of significant differences from a
Jolt. It's a Jolt power system. Like, look at the thing. Like, you can see where the trigger pivots.
Yeah, it's actually kind of cool.
It's a pretty weird one. And then there's also, I can't, the picture of it, I actually had to get the full description. I had to do what Jolt did last time and go to the Wayback Machine. And you can see a picture of the other one, but I'm not sure.
The War Machine one.
The War Machine
one? Yeah, they have a War Machine and an Iron Man one, right?
Yeah, I can only, I can only get the tiny preview image of the War Machine one there, but...
yeah.
But it did exist.
I think it was, utter travesty, I think, has, 90 bazillion of these things. With, the...
That's so funny.
Yeah, they're adorable. And again, apparently the darts they come with are, the same diameter as Ultra, which is hilarious.
Yep, oh, there we go.
I pulled a little eBay picture. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, good. That's nice.
I like the War Machine one because it's all black and silver. That's pretty cool. Man, I never knew this existed. That's awesome.
So interestingly, this has the same thing that Spider-Man. So we have that Spider-Man blaster we talked about, which I still would like to get my hands on, that shoots a dart that looks like it's made out of Ultra Foam. And that's meant for little kids and has the 3 and up or 4 and up marker on it. And that also has this text that actually says from the makers of Nerf, as opposed to actually being a Nerf product. But clearly this uses the Nerf technology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So funny stuff. Anyway, congratulations on that one. it's hard to come up with something that's too obscure for Jolt King.
It's also kind of cheating because technically this is two blasters instead of one.
Well, if you had said, I don't know why you ever would have said War Machine Iron Flyer, it's fine.
He was close enough.
You clearly got it.
In my opinion, he did outstanding.
Honestly, my best outcome was that you vaguely remembered what it was, but couldn't remember the name. That did not happen. So that leaves
better
us.
Luck next
so
time.
I am now trailing behind at 19 points, while Vile has 20, Jolt has 27. Vile has 20, Jolt has 27, Grim's 22, and not enough that gets to come on the board at 3 points.
Hey, thanks for letting me participate. It was fun.
yeah. I'm gonna write that on there, even though it doesn't really do anything. No other guest has been part of a winning round of. Of what's that blaster? So congratulations!
Oh, so the host won when Maritime was on.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh wow.
No successful guesses either when Maritime or Taffy were on, which are the only other two guests we've had so far.
Incredible.
So, congratulations. Moving on to our last full topic, I would like to talk a little bit about this new move. Towards full body printing on blasters. Both X-Shot and Nerf have been doing this a lot lately. X-Shot is even doing it on their Pro line, and have already done one custom long shot for Walcom. But I'm kind of... We were talking a little bit with a couple of the folks on the Discord who are in the industry, so to speak, who were telling us that, this technology has been kind of coming along. You can sort of see, I believe it's the same technology that they use, that Dart Zone used to print on the Jurassic Pro, but they weren't able to wrap all the way around the blaster, it seems like, with that design. So you have sort of this panel printing on the side of a big boxy blaster. But very soon after that, X-Shot started to release skinned blasters.
Even with X-Shot, they can't technically print sideways. So if you'll notice, it's not a traditional clamshell, where yes, it is a clamshell, but there's a separate piece up on the top so that they can print the top.
Right. So what I'm wondering about is I have two big thoughts about this. One is... the ability to print whatever you want on the outside of the blaster theoretically reduces your need to actually design new blasters. Because you can continue to fill the shelf with the same product.
Oh, absolutely.
And hit the collector market, hit just the same people with what looks like a new version of something, but is literally the same shell. We've already seen this right now.
Everything Hasbro has put out is new. Is new paint. On an old blaster, the Ray blaster they repainted for the Mandalorian.
Yeah,
we've got Transformers Warden, Transformers Tetrad.
and now the TMNT Sweet Revenge.
Well, and it's so funny because I feel very differently about the TMNT Sweet Revenge than I do about the Warden.
Because those were like, right? New blasters. They brought back a blaster that's not been on shelf for like a million years.
Like, I mean, the Sweet Revenge is what, 2013?
It's pretty old. Like
that. That's a resurrection. Like 2013,
2014?
Yeah.
It hasn't been on there for like 5-6 years.
So Nerf, let's face it, Nerf has been getting away with this for seemingly decades right now. And X-Shot just said, if they're going to profit off of it, why can't we? And you know what? It's a capitalistic kind of mindset. You have to at this point, you know? I was one of the first people to say, dude, that Flux that you're looking at, that Menace that you're looking at, it's a reshelled Hyper Shot a kickback, whatever it is. You guys are like drooling over these new blasters because it's your first time holding one, because I probably drew you in with the graphic. But it was a smart marketing idea, because X-Shot, if anything, what they did is they pretty much reaped in all the people that they had missed with their boring looking Excel blasters all these years. They were able to finally pull in these people that are like, look at the cool graphics, the graffiti, Apocalypse this, you know, all this other stuff. Yeah. And now these people are coming onto the forums, you know, and the Reddits and stuff of the world. And they're like, look at these new blasters. And us older grandfather community guys were like, those are not new. But
right.
It's right. Cool. It's good for the hobby. It's good for the business. It's good for the companies making them. So I
honestly love it because it gives so many options.
I love it too.
You mentioned the Menace. I mean, the Menace is interesting because I'm sure it uses the same or very similar powers. Jolt's probably opened one up.
The Menace is a reskin of the X-Shot Micro. The Flux is a reskin of the, what's it called? The Hyper Shot or the Kickback.
But here's the thing. Menace, have you actually opened up and compared the innards?
Yeah, they're very similar.
The Menace takes short darts. Like, they did make changes.
That's the one thing they changed, is they shortened the dart peg, basically. And they made a different priming rod.
It's a significant change, though. It really changes the role of a blaster like the Menace, where you don't even have to mod it, and you can carry it as a sidearm to your pro blaster and have it as your backup shot, and it'll run the same darts.
Because, like, people would already take the dart pegs out of micros and use them like that. I do that.
Right.
They work rather well like that, because the barrel is so short. Like, they'll have full darts spiral out of control half the time because of it. But the short darts, they work great.
You know, my real thing is, think about what the Nerf aisle looked like. We're all different ages here, but still, think about what the Nerf aisle looked like when you were a kid and going there. Just think about the vibe of the Nerf aisle.
The vibe earliest is like early 2018.
Right. But like, even then, you're talking about late Elite era stuff, right? Your Nerf aisle is mostly in 2018. Was Rebel over in 2018?
Rebel was over, yes.
Rebel was over. But you're still gonna have, you know, it's mostly like blue. It's like solid colors. It's a different vibe, I think, than an aisle with all toys that have different designs printed all over them.
I'll give you my take on it. I'm probably older than most folks on here, more than I want to admit.
You're only older than me.
We can compare notes after.
I'll tell you what. This whole, you know, multi-graphics kind of interface that they're doing now with these blasters, this delivery of having a different face on every blaster and constantly changing that works now. It also, having plain blasters worked then, because we're living in an era right now where, you know, the attention limit, or attention span, I should say, of the average person, you know, we're living in the age of TikTok, where any video over 60 seconds is just way too long. So we're like, it's a sensory overload right now. This, you know, this kind of graphics would have been a sensory overload back in the day, when we're used to seeing things practical and normal. Nowadays, it's like, it's almost a necessity to have this much going on, even on a product as simple as a Nerf blaster, because you need to get people's really attention. I mean, at least the way I look at it right now, it's like it's the demand of the time we live in right now. And it works, though. I mean, they're selling blasters. I always see the skins aisle constantly restocking. The X-Shot skins are constantly refilling the shelves, because it's fly true. Off the shelf. People love them.
The biggest worry is that it turns our space into a... if it commodifies the space where, basically, like what happened to water guns, where there's no longer very much innovation, where it's just the same thing over and over again forever, because it will keep selling.
Yeah, it's sad. Right. It's funny, I was making a video on that. I have it on pause right now in production. I was going to make a video about, you know, whatever happened to the Slamfire water gun. Like, everything went Slamfire for 10 straight years. All water guns, they stopped doing the you know, the stored air tank.
There was a patent by Lonnie Johnson. I believe they weren't paying him well enough or something, and he revoked their use of that patent.
Yeah.
Which good on him, honestly.
Like, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard about that story.
Yeah, he was using that money to fund his research laboratory. Because he still does, you know, he was a rocket scientist, basically, you know, right. He was an engineer. Like, he was using that money to continue doing his research and stuff. And it's like, yeah, look, you absolutely should be paying him. What the hell?
Yeah.
But yeah, it is an interesting thing to see. I think that it's kind of something to worry about. But at the same time, we're seeing skins being put on new blasters that we've never seen before. X-Shot is getting into the pro scene. And even with the blaster, like, we've seen a lot of people already strip the you know, ink off of it and paint them and do all this stuff. And they look really good. Like, they're not just boxes. They're really good looking blasters.
Is it like a hydro dipper? You could just boil it off?
I think you have to sand it down.
Really?
Okay. I know some people just painted right over it. But I have heard that certain
things, Gopher found, yeah, where it would react with it, and it would kind of like...
It feels solid. Like, it doesn't feel like it'll come off easy.
Yeah, it does have some paints do react with it. So, you know, and that was what Joel was saying. You know, Iron Gopher was recently has been painting one, and he found out the hard way that it reacted with paint. I think it was an enamel paint specifically. So if it's an acrylic paint, I don't think it had problems, because I've seen other people just paint them and not like really pre-sand or sand it all off. So I think it really depends on what it is. But, you know, you still are seeing a lot of these companies still coming up with some new stuff. Granted, I know Hasbro's kind of been missing the mark with, you know, some of the Elite 2.0 stuff. There's still some Elite 2.0 stuff that's been a pretty decent hit, right? Like, a lot of us like the double punch. A lot of us liked the Blitz fire. A lot of us liked
Moto Blitz.
You know, or Moto Blitz. That's what it was. You know, but there's still a few things that they're coming out with that people do like. It's just that if you can put the graphic on it, sure. Even if it is in the same idea of they're trying to get the attention, they still have to give you something that's worth buying, because you can. You know, even the X-Shot stuff, kind of where it's at, it's not a bad blaster. They, you know, their plastics are questionable if you start to mod them a little bit too heavy, but they're pretty solid for the most part. Like, they were pretty solid little blasters regardless, like, out of the box.
I believe I've seen at least one person so far break their plunger rod.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that too.
It's like, okay, you took the... That's the one thing, is that I don't understand why everyone looked at the X-Shot long shot, saw how weak the plastic was, and you know what we should do? Let's put a K-25 in it.
Yeah, but you're talking about a blaster that if it's the only thing you can get to in a game, and you got to go and run and gun, you're like, you're not disappointed. I mean, you're shooting 80, the lowest. Like, it's a good performing blaster, like, in its organic.
Great. I'm just saying, it's just funny. It's just funny that immediately after seeing the poor quality, everyone's like, let's put a beefy freaking spring in this. Great idea, guys. Great idea.
But I know what Vile's alluding to is, like, X-Shot can get away with putting skins on stuff because people are still going to want the blaster. It inherently has a desirability just based on its performance and function. Nerf doesn't have that. Nerf is locked into a performance, and that it is what it is. And them changing the skins, it's not going to win us over. It might win grandma buying something for her grandson, but that's it.
And that's what I'm saying, is they'll keep doing this and stop funding the research for new products, in theory, because they're going to make a lot of money off of these skins. So why should they make a new design when they'll make just as much money with the same stuff?
Nerf is a lot stronger in the collector territory, partly because they have the backing of Hasbro, which is more of a historic toy company. So they can get away with things like the Mandalorian blaster, where Star Wars collectors will buy it. Regardless of what it actually is,
like, literally breaks,
and that but there's a really big difference, I think, between printing literally a picture of the characters on the side of a flat paneled blaster like Ray's blaster versus a blaster like the X-Shot Longshot, which has a lot of greebling, and the print design is designed around the way that the shell is designed. Even with like the Sweet Revenge, I'm excited to see a Sweet Revenge. I have nostalgia for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but it is an existing blaster, and the Sweet Revenge, there were already versions of that blaster that had printing on them, just not at this level of detail at the time. We had the like purple wing designs and stuff printed on the Sweet Revenge on versions of it.
They did do a lot of that with Rebel, didn't they?
Yeah,
they
did. Rebel had it.
And I think that's part of why that particular blaster came back. Whatever access they have to the printing technology, it's working better for them to do it on flat.
They already had something mapped out on how to print it, probably.
Right. And if they were going to do a design like X-Shots, they would have to design a whole new blaster and a whole new mold, and obviously they're trying to do that less. So,
like,
you know...
Completely welcome. That's a blaster that's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, yes, please. Yep. Give me more of these.
Well, like, what else would you like? Like, what other existing blasters would actually look good with printing? Because I don't understand the choice
rapid
of the
glow.
Warden. Like, the
please.
Warden already
please
looked
bad. Please give me
bad.
A rapid glow. I want a repainted rapid glow with some weird, obscure thing on her. Just a regular, like, X-Shot skin style thing. I would love that.
And I just want a rapid strike with it on there. Get out of here. Get me a rapid strike with some cool Greeble work on it. That's like the X shot long shots, you know, type of stuff. I think the rapid strike had a really cool body.
I see what KT is saying though, because the Warden is like greebled and crap.
Yeah, yep. And even the what was that other one? The
Tetrad.
Tetrad, yeah. So that one, I actually really like them just for their shape and like the Greeble work that they had, because that's
those
something
far shot
that,
smart ARs, not enough can testify to those. Those are fun.
Right. But that's the thing. Like, you know, obviously the performance is kind of garbage. Getting into them, it's kind of trash because they went to Solvit Welds and
did they Solvit Weld that one? Not enough. I'm pretty sure you modded a Tetrad.
So the Tetrad does not have Solvit Welds. I think they paid attention to the community in that aspect. I think the Tetrad going forward is zero solvent weld. Like my Motor Blitz, I just took one apart. No solvent welds. The Trailblazer, the Storm Charge. Like I think they stopped.
There's only
that.
Like one clipped part in the Double Punch, and it's the backstrap of the grip.
Well, we've talked about this on the podcast before, where we as a hobby, we are not their biggest audience. However, we are the biggest communication avenue in terms of like people doing reviews. So if they make something that upsets the hobby will speak up about it, even if the things that we're upset about don't affect the average consumer, right? Like, if something's going to break down after 20 uses, that does affect the average consumer, and they should know about it. But if something's solvent welded, that doesn't really affect the average consumer because they're going to play with it until it breaks. I would like to believe that they could get into it and fix it later, but how many of them actually are going to? That's a cultural issue that we can't solve. But I think they recognize that if they do, like, the cost to them of, like, the cost savings of solvent welding a blaster, probably they're realizing don't outweigh the downsides of the lost sales because of the negative reviews that they get from hobby members who then all kinds of people watch their videos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right.
So I think that's a big part of why partway through the Elite 2.0 thing, the solvent welds suddenly disappeared.
Yeah. Well, I think, well, like my point really about it was, you know, even though the community really took a lot of kind of hatred towards kind of the direction they were going with clips and solvent welds, what I was more kind of getting onto was the, if you look at the designs on the blasters and the Greeble work, they were actually doing some pretty fun stuff. Granted, some of the grips were kind of trash, but like the turbine actually has a really cool, you know, front end on it, and some of the Greeble work on some of the stuff looks actually kind of neat. Like there are certain points to it, and it, at the end of the day, what is that? It's a reskinned Rapid Strike. Well, what about this one? Well, that's a reskinned Retaliator. Well, what about that one? Well, it's a reskinned Strife. We're gonna keep seeing a lot of reskins because there's a pretty kind of formulaic setup for how you're going to build a blaster and what you're going to build it around. And they're going to pull from a lot of this. Everybody is, right? X-Shot, you know.
Even the Moto Blitz is technically old blasters. It is a Raven with a Hornet on the front.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. Like, you're doing a lot of this stuff, and they're going to rehash it. So I think when it comes to innovation, you're looking more at what are the gimmicks, right? Like the Easy that just popped up on the shelf out of nowhere. Like, nobody was really seeing that come. Nobody knew that was going to pop up. And it's this weird top lever action thing. And Busby's always been known to do kind of weird, goofy blasters and gimmicky type things. It's not that Hasbro doesn't do it. It's just that they're further in between each one of them. And especially when they got rid of things like air tanks or different types of propulsion methods, you know, when those were big for a while there, we saw a lot more gimmicks. But as those kind of trailed off, the gimmicks kind of got less and less. And, you know, those gimmicks also kind of helped to create unique or weird blasters, right? Like, look at the entire Max Force line. Most of that stuff like, it was weird plunger tubes with a, you know, some kind of rubber hose going from the plunger tube to, like, you know, two or three different barrels out of nowhere. And,
well, because,
you know,
when Dino Squad came out, people were like, oh, it's a return to, like, older Nerf. It's like, but then the Dino Squad blasters are beautiful. But right. They are all effectively reskins of existing blaster mechanics.
Exactly. And, you know, there's...
One of them did.
Yeah, but the thing is,
and that
is
was
that
that was the Tricera Blast actually did something different, where it was Hammer Prime with the spring in these inside the actual plunger tube instead of in the grip.
Yeah, that's the one. That was an interesting one, because I tore mine apart and I was like, huh, that's so weird. But the, you know, at the end of the day, it's not that they don't necessarily try something new, but you know, the community as well, not just the community, but even just general market, if they don't buy it, they're probably not going to invest in making more. Like, we saw the you know, what was that other line? It was the Alien Menace or whatever.
That died because Toys R Us died.
Yeah, and like, so we see these kind of like little kick-ups out of nowhere, and then they just kind of disappear. Like, look at Mega XL. We haven't really seen Mega XL.
I think
ever
that
since.
Was an issue with overstock because like, they instantly went on sale everywhere. Like,
mm-hmm.
2 weeks after they dropped, I think they just ordered so much extra stock, and it was well beyond what was going to sell.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing, though. It's if we saw that with Mega, though, because Mega had a thing of, you know, three blasters, and then they just didn't do anything for how many years with Mega?
And now the refill packs are hard to get, and they're more expensive.
Exactly. So we see this kind of ebb and flow in the market. We see this ebb and flow with design. We see this ebb and flow with, you know, gimmicks or something different or trying something else. If this is the new kid on the block, is the ink printing, you know what? It's going to be cool for a while. A lot of people are going to love it. And you can't really beat the price of an X-Shot blaster compared to a lot of the markups from Hasbro, right? Like, the markups are real, because I'm sorry, but a $40 Ender Dragon that has a 6-clip internal clip system is
wild.
The thing is hideous looking. I'm sorry, whoever likes it, the thing is hideous looking.
It's hideous in a good way, though.
That's true, but
wouldn't it have an internal mag, like kind of like how the SPL has?
Yeah, it is an SPL, but upside down.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's upside down.
I wanted one as a joke. And when I saw the sticker price, I was like, there's no way. I cannot justify that, because the markup
was
so ridiculous.
You go to Target now, all that stuff is 70. It bites them in the ass. It does. It catches up to them.
Oh, yeah.
All that Ender Dragon, you know, all the little Dungeons and Dragons. Like, I was talking to Jolt King the other day, the little yellow, the cute little dragon-y one. You know, the Jolt one?
The cat for like $11.
$3. From $11 to $3.
Yeah.
What was the other one? The regular Ender, the dragon one? The crossbow dragon?
All the Dungeons and Dragon ones you're talking about?
Yeah, that thing was like $33. Like, that's why nobody bought it, because they were like, why am I paying for something that, you know, I could just...
Yeah, they're I have the green one and the red one. Man, they're bad. They're so bad. they're kind of like they've languished on my docket of things to do videos about, and I'm probably just never going to do it at this point, because like,
The hype is over. Movie's gone.
The movie's gone, but also, like, it's interesting because, like, they are interesting design-wise. Like, they do interesting things, but not in a good way. and one of them is a worse Diamondista, which was already one of the worst blasters nerfs ever made. So it's kind of like, whatever.
Yeah.
Isn't the Diamondista basically like a charm version of the Chewbacca?
Kinda, yeah, with a cheese grater grip like the Messenger has, and it performs a little better.
I call it Alpha Strikey grip.
But
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, except it's like worse. Because there's even less folds.
It's bad. It's bad.
But it does perform a little better than the Chewbacca bow. The Chewbacca crossbow, for those who don't know, is a single shot stringer, and it is the worst ever. Period. It shoots like 10 feet.
But yeah, KT, I just wanted to circle back to what you were originally saying about the Greeble that's actually symmetrical to the blaster versus just slapping a drawing like they did with the Teenage Mutant. I couldn't agree more. Like, when the long shot came out, I was so happy, because I saw the symmetry with the way that the graphics aligned with the body of the blaster. And I was like, please make more of these. Yep. And that's why, with the few skins, I think FaZe Clan is just one of the few other ones on the Last Stand, and maybe the Griefer, where it's you know, it makes such a difference when the graphics actually flow with the lines of the blaster, whether mm-hmm. it's a sci-fi, you know, alien effect or whatever it is, just make it flow. That's my kind of graphics that appeals to me. But I understand some people want the splash of graffiti or whatever it is. Some people like that wild expression. And I think that's what they're aiming for, like, initially. Just express yourself with your blaster, you know?
There have been a few of the X-Shot designs that have managed to do a little bit of both, where, like, they have the, like, lines that do the thing, and then the like, splashy thing that, like, goes across it, and it looks... Yeah. It looks like those cool, like, mods that people do with, like, they, like, very carefully, like, do all the lines in the blaster, and then they do, like, a splatter paint effect across the whole thing that is so sick. And, like, X-Shot has touched on some of that.
Kind of like Mad Max steampunk mix, kind of. Yeah.
Well, that, or, like, I mean, I really love the idea of, like, okay, I did this blaster, and it's all in very, like, kind of, like, grayscaley colors with a bright, like, highlight for safety or whatever. And then I splashed a giant, like, purple and green, like, you know, like, you put the spray paint in the cap and you, like, fling it at the work so that it does the, like, splatter effect.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I love that kind of look. KT's and, like, going to X-Shot old Game Boy is kind of touching on that territory. With some of the graffiti designs, where, like, you see all the stuff that outlines all of the, like, fake hardware on the blaster, and it looks very, like, mechanical.
Yeah,
and
then Joel, it's got this, who was, like, the guy that was doing the Borderlands Sharpies to the blasters, making him look all cell shaded? That was so cool.
There's a few
blasted in Germany, I think. Marcus, maybe. I think he was one of the ones that did it.
Gopher did that on one as well. It was an integration of a Ultra 2 with a Chronos grip, or not Chronos, Chaos grip. Sorry, and he did a cell shaded look to it. It looked really good. He called it Cell.
That's awesome. I like that.
That's great. So. Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot of hope. I think there's a lot of hope for this new design style. Just time will tell, I guess, where the companies actually take this technology now that it's available. I think it's interesting that Dart Zone, you know, they did that. They did the Jurassic World one, and we haven't really seen them use it again, use this technology again. They clearly have access to it, but I wonder why they're not as involved in it as Nerf and X-Shot are, but we'll have to see what they decide to do.
This is not part of the program, but I just want to ask you guys real quick as a guest.
Yeah,
what
hit
your
us.
Opinion
hit
is. It. Can you explain the pricing dynamic between the Max Striker, a blaster that has been around since late 2020 or early 2021, and the Dictator, which is, from a performance standpoint, it's such a better blaster. And they are just liquidating these things off the shelf. I saw one go for like $12 the other day now at Target. And the Max Striker, however, is now continuing to be $59.99. They're proud of that. That barely ever goes on sale. Is it a matter of demand or popularity? What's your guys' opinion on that?
I don't know what that would be, because I know that the Max Striker went to a lot of deep discount stores. I've seen it. Go to, like,
I have
there's like a B2 outlet. Are you kidding? I've seen Max Strikers go to, like, B2 outlets. I don't know if you have those where you are. I would assume they probably popped up at, like, Ollie's too.
I do not have those, but I have Ross and Bell's, which is kind of like the equivalent, I guess. But
see, I used to have access to Ross, and you know, sometimes I see stuff at, we don't have that here where we live now, We do have like TJ Maxx, and we have, you know, and sometimes I see a lot of X Shot at like TJ Maxx and Marshall's, but we also, like where I live, we have the tiniest Target ever. And there were some Max Strikers on the shelf when we first got here. They have never been restocked. And I was amazed to find the Max Outlaw today at my Target. Did not expect to see any of the new stuff show up anytime soon. But there it was on the shelf. So my experience here is kind of skewed just in terms of accessibility of new product. That said, I do think the average person's interpretation of the Dictator versus the Max Striker, just in terms of looking at it, like, is not the same as the way the hobby sees those things. We have seen all the reviews. We have probably handled both blasters. I would prefer to take a Dictator into a game than a Max Striker. I could do either. I prefer the Max Striker over the Nexus Pro, but they're actually not that different. Nexus Pros have never gone on sale where I'm at. They are original asking price. Partly just because this is just not very available in general.
So they were $49.99 until they phased out, and that's it.
They have not even disappeared off the shelf yet, and they are still $49.99. I have purple ones and orange ones on the shelf at my local Walmart. They are $49.99.
We only have purple camel left, and that's it.
I think that you're seeing I think that the average person thinks that the Dictator is just a weird blaster, and so they are less likely to buy them. I think it's literally that simple.
So it's pushback from the casual audience, you're saying?
It's not even pushback. Well, I mean, yeah, I guess it's just that we see through the like weird loading mechanisms and stuff, and we see the benefits of a blaster like that. And we also in the hobby, we have very little reason to buy a Max Striker. If we're looking for a blaster like that, we're probably building our own blaster, you know?
Right. Or you have a modded Nexus Pro, which is. The Striker is just marginally better than it in stock form. So, yeah.
Exactly. Absolutely. And I would also rope the Tomcat into this because, you know, the Tomcat had a weird situation with the accidental fire sale that they had when the thing
They caught that quick, though.
But as a result, I don't think it's ever going to go on sale again because they've now lost so much money on that model. They have to recoup that money. And that thing that is going to stay full price until it goes away, I think.
I would think it was more like a product of the Max Striker being like a jack of all trades and a master of none, and then the Tomcat being specified as a high capacity performance blaster, and then the Dictator's just sitting there in the middle like, what am I? I think that could have played a part in it as well. Like, not everybody just wants to switch over to a strict half dart platform that, you know, has this weird sideways loading or whatever it is.
That's also pretty true. Maybe. I always wonder how much of a selling point the half to full dart flexibility of the Nexus and the Max Striker really is to the average user.
It's surprisingly high. Like, when I'm trying to convince someone who's like casual nerf, they're like, does it take the mags I already have?
Yep. Mm.
Yeah, I made a whole video on that. So it's definitely a big deal.
It definitely is supposed to be like, the idea definitely is that it's a transitional blaster. It's something that
crosses over.
Expose you to the world of short darts if you haven't been exposed to them before.
Like, obviously, we want short dart only. I want short dart only. But there are a lot of people who don't.
Yeah,
I think I like having them both. Like, I like being able to plink inside the house with something 80 through 100 FPS that doesn't break stuff. And then I also like the competitive blaster. Like, one guy made a comment on one of my videos. He's like, You should just play competitive Nerf and you'll never want to go back under 200 FPS. I'm like, no, I won't. I still want to play casual Nerf too.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, I'm going to hand my Nexus Pro to an 8-year-old because obviously 200 FPS is always better. Right?
That 8-year-old cannot prime your Nexus Pro. That's exactly. The other thing. Like, I am literally handing blasters to kids every other day. This Max Outlaw is not for them. The Nexus Pro is not for them. That is just not how it works. That will lower power will always have a place in my life. And honestly, when I go to high power events, I have a really great time. But at the end of that event, there is almost always a sillies round, and that thing is capped at 100 FPS. And it is after shooting high power stuff all day, when you suddenly have to run all the way up to your enemy and they're swinging a sword at you, that is just the most cathartic thing. There will always be, I mean, you said this right at the top of the show, not enough. You said this right at the top. Nerf has a very special place in between sport and role play and just play and all these things kind of roll into this one hobby and this one scene in a way that airsoft and paintball I don't think can in the same way. Like the kind of, you can have very, like, you can have a lot of competitiveness and all the silliness in the same event going on at the same time, and you don't see that in a lot of other places, and I think that makes this sport really unique and special. So I think that you're right that these blasters are priced weird because it's confusing to the average consumer, that it's hard to see where the Dictator fits into the overall scheme of things. But I think our sport and our hobby is that diverse, and that it takes a lot of education. It takes a lot of educating people to get them to kind of really see everything that exists.
I kind of just want, I want the hobby to continue to have appreciation for both kind of play styles, the casual and the competitive. Yep. It seems like everybody is in such a hurry to just, let's evolve already. Let's all be half darts only. And I'm here like, no, guys, I still like my full length Thunderbolt. I like that Dart Zone is still doing this because we could still play that. I know Brandon Diaz had a video that he came out a while back now. I think it was called Why I Nerf Instead of Airsoft, or Why I Switched to Nerf. Mm-hmm. And he even talked about it in that video very elaborately, more than I could ever. And he was talking about how even short darts, having just short darts only, is kind of like an extreme thing to do right now. You know, it's like he enjoys that casual playstyle. It's just, it's a good, well-rounded experience to do both. And I think the hobby should never fully evolve to just high-speed competitive Nerf halfway only. And I've said that in my video, and I stand behind that. I think I'm carrying the torch in a certain sense, because even vets of the hobby, you know, Walcoms of the world, they're like, nope, I am completely 100% ready for short darts only. And I'm like, yeah, but I still enjoy the original darts too. I don't know, I'm weird like that, but...
No, I still enjoy full darts. I may never use them for, like, wars or anything, but I still enjoy them.
Hey, I'm a Mega fan here, okay? I'm over here just using Mega darts, and everybody's like, oh, full and half. I'm like, just get Mega darts. It doesn't matter.
PLDR version. I enjoy my ballistic ball blaster still. Like, I just like everything, you know? It's all fun. Right. It's all good.
So. Wow, it's almost like you do not have enough. You can't have enough Nerf.
Well, I'm getting to the point where I got enough Nerf. So I'm going to have to change the branding here in a few. I've had to upload on eBay. I was talking to Jolt King about
it. I think a lot of us are shrinking our collections right now, which is kind of a whole other topic that we don't have to get into. But but I think there's definitely a lot of redistribution going on, I think, in the hobby in general.
God, I can't believe Coop was able to offload. His most collection must have been in the thousands.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, some of it capped up there pretty high. So
yeah, some of it got pretty high. To cap off our podcast, because we do got to go at some point, despite how much fun we're having right now, I always like to pose a hypothetical to the crew to cap things off. And today, you know, the Sharp 92 is starting to appear. It's the first in Nerf's Retro Limited series, which are remakes of vintage blasters. The Sharp 32 seems pretty cool. Jolt's waiting on his because he bought it on Amazon. did we lose Jolt? Are you just stewing in silence because you're angry at Jeff Bezos?
Yes.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm coming for you, Jeff. That's right. You better watch your window. You didn't deliver my Sharp 92.
When was it slated to arrive?
It still says it's supposed to come in December, even though they're starting to show up from Hasbro Pulse.
So Amazon
order is delaying you to December?
They haven't changed. I don't understand it, because like people from Hasbro Pulse, they're getting theirs now.
Well, like, and I don't want to digress too deep on this, but it's kind of funny because that has been our complaint in the past. It's literally the opposite of what has happened historically, which is you order from Hasbro and Pulse, and they make it sound like you have to pre-order it from Hasbro Pulse if you're going to get it on time. Otherwise, like, you may not even get to see it because it's limited, because that's in the name.
And now it's literally just on Hasbro Pulse. It's just there. You can buy it right now.
Yeah.
I might actually do that.
I do think that that's pretty funny in a certain way. But anyway, here's just what I want to know. If you could pick any vintage Nerf, it does have to be Nerf brand, or at least I guess it could be Laramie, because Laramie is owned by Hasbro as well.
We're talking vintage in the sense of vintage being automatic 20 years?
Well,
I would say anything pre-end strike.
Yeah, anything pre-end strike that you would like to see Nerf do in the retro series. What would you love to see come back? And remember that, you know, the Sharp 92 has been modified to use a modern dart, right?
Yeah,
so, and like mega, it has a more like modern power mega system, but it's a really good look. So like what is a blaster that you would love to be able to just take off the shelf and have it be upgraded to modern standards and released in the retro series?
I'm the VIP guest, so I'm just going to go ahead and barge on in and go first.
Do it.
Would love the Tech Target Eliminated. The Tech Target Eliminator, but modded for half lengths, or obviously a hybrid design with, I guess, a shorter dart post or whatever that can shoot both, if possible, if that could be done. It might have to ramrod a half dart, something like that. I just love the shape of that blaster. I know it's real close to the Sharp, and they probably won't do it because they'll be like, we already have the Sharp. Why are we going to bring the Tech?
Yeah, but Joel King
knows why
really cool...
I love the Tech. I haven't
found
one.
It's got that great sci-fi.
Never
it's
found
got that
one.
Great sci-fi look to it. They're so good.
Wait, didn't they make a streamlined version too?
They made four versions of the Tech Target Blaster. There was the old Mega version that came in three different logo variants, where the only difference was the logos. And then there was, and those were all in 2003. Shows you how many logos they went through that year. 2006, they made a version for Micro Darts, which came with like a couple of Whistlers. I have actually that version with a box. Yeah, it just came with like Whistler darts, and they were modern.
Well, then there's a chance they might still bring it, because if they made a streamlined version, they wouldn't bring it back, because they'll be like, well, people should just find the streamlined version.
Yeah, those are probably more common.
I just love the shape of it, but yeah.
They're excellent blasters. I love them.
They're great. Okay, Joel, I know you have an opinion here. Oh, wait, Vile, was that you?
What?
Nothing. Go ahead. Joel, whoever has the next one.
This is a tough one, and it comes down to a couple different blasters.
Okay.
For me, one that I would love just for the good of it existing would be the Ratchet Blast. Because for those who don't know, the Ratchet Blast was a blaster from, I believe, the Cyber Strike line. It's a four-round internal revolver, and it primes with the handle. So you, like, flick it, and you can prime it that way if you're careful. Think like the Boomco Whip Blast. It was really cool. One problem. They shatter like glass because they have the, I believe in the Transformers community, they call it gold plastic syndrome, where basically the plastic degrades over time and it becomes incredibly brittle. And it does, and the entire shell is made of that plastic. It was thin to begin with. So basically, if you get one now, it dies within like three shots.
Well, it seems like
and
a worthy.
It's such a cool blaster. I would love to see it come back with plastic that won't decay after 5 minutes.
I think it was a victim of too many moving parts, because most blasters that have that, even the underlever ones, like the scavengers and such, just all the mechanical gears inside, just
if you it didn't have gears.
It was actually like a direct pull. Like the handle moves and it pulls the plunger rod with it. It's not geared. It's a quite fascinating design. But the other blaster that I would love to see, I would love to see the Defender T3. I make no secret of it. I love that blaster. It is great, and the top half can fire Mega XL really nicely. So come on, Hasbro, give us a Defender T3. I would buy that.
How do you know so much about some of these blasters that are older than you?
That is a very good question. You see, I have way too much time, or at least I used to before I got a job.
Okay.
I just absorb information.
Come back at him in a couple years and see how up to date he is.
That's remarkable, though. I like that. That's pretty awesome. How about you, Vile?
Razor Fin, but barreled for Mega.
That's a good one. That's a good one too. Ooh, Razor fins are pretty base.
That's a very good one.
I really, again, I said it Max Force earlier. I love a lot of the stuff in the Max Force line, and the Razor fin is such a fun blaster. And I think that it would be perfect if it was barreled in Mega, because there's, it should be able, they should be able to get enough power out of it to be able to fire those. So I,
with modern, hands down. You could put a big shock in there probably.
Razor fin, the one that had the trigger that was like the handle, you had to squeeze it kind of like a hose, like a water hose.
It's an internal revolver and it's shaped like a fish or something.
It's a fish, and when you squeeze the back handle, the spines come up on the top, and it had a bottom prime in the handle because that's where the plunger tube was. So and then cool. It was a two-shot AR.
And they could easily make it much AR, better now.
Okay, I see what you mean.
Because they have like smart AR technology now instead of the internal revolver, so they can make it so much better.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly. Yeah, it was said it was supposed to resemble a Piranha, but, you kind know, of, yeah. Whatever.
It's a wonderful blaster. I have one. It was
two barrels and a one barrel, like it had a storage directly under the like chin of the fish thing. But I just really liked them. I they're such goofy blasters. And again, I really think what those in a Mega, and you know what? I might have one and I might just do that mod myself.
Do it.
Yeah, you can just make a spigot and put a mega over it.
It's chambered in old Mega, so you'd have to get a new barrel.
Yeah, it's close enough that I could probably just... And I actually have one with a broken barrel, so it's perfect fodder for it. Already done. We're going to do it. Oh, I got to go find it.
Do you have one? Do you actually have one to work on?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, you're lucky. Those things are so hard to find now.
I have a lot of vintage stuff. I have a lot of vintage stuff. I swear I see
those things on eBay all the time.
Yeah, but I find them thrifting.
Yeah. But this is Vile just having them because he found them at a thrift store that one time 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
There was a few times.
To be fair, Vile has thrifted a crossbow. So
I've thrifted a kind of crossbow. I've thrifted a lot of vintage stuff. In one go, I walked out with like a bunch of like late 90s stuff. It was like six or seven of them in one visit to a thrift store.
The deep sea creatures? They had like an electric eel too, I think.
I have that
they
one
did.
Too.
Uh-huh. That's another one that has that gold plastic syndrome it for is, the entire yeah. shell.
So it's part of like these are 1990s we're talking, right?
Yep, 1997
yeah, these are
90s.
These are
90s.
Fin.
Wow, that's taking it way back. I remember the electric eel. It's so cool looking, man.
I've got two of them
sitting around with no clips. They're so cool, but they just destroy themselves they're that bad plastic. I want to ship a flywheeler in one.
I know they had the Mad Hornet, but the Mad Hornet is an insect. It's not really a sea creature.
Okay, I'm gonna hit you all with mine before we sign off here. I think in terms of pure nostalgia for me, I want the original bow and arrow to come back. I don't care if they have to put original arrows on it, whatever, like give
Fire Mega XL.
It could fire Mega XL, but like it's not really the same.
Yeah, like they just they do
big foam arrows.
They just do. It's the same diameter.
Oh no! Yeah, they do. That's right, they do. But I would want the replica to come with the arrows. Almost more seriously though, the Manta Ray.
Oh yeah, definitely make the plastic thicker, improve it so it doesn't break.
Seems like a pretty solid. Yeah, just remake the Manta Ray with better thicker plastic. Barrel it up for a modern dart, and
I mean, it already fires modern darts. I have one. It'll fire Mega, it'll fire Rival, it'll fire Hyper,
really,
it'll fire full length, it'll fire half length. The only thing within reason that it won't fire is Ultra, because it just won't seal. It's got a tapered barrel. Yeah,
that's pretty wild.
They're fun.
Ultra Peasants.
I'd also be down for the detonator. Do y'all know what that little thing is? Oh, I should have saved it for what's that
for
blaster?
For once, I think I can't remember exactly which one it was.
Okay, so this is truly my childhood. This is 1993. I didn't actually have the detonator, but I had the blast hammer and which is similar, like a similar but like folding handheld blaster.
Is this the generator an upside up? Uppercut?
No, so the detonator, it does have, I mean, effectively
it's an uppercut mechanic though, right?
What it does is it's a hamp and you set it on a table and
I literally own this blaster.
you punch your hand down on it.
I literally own this blaster.
But you can, but you can, angle,
I ever remember that.
You can angle the barrel.
Yep.
To fire.
Yeah,
it.
like artillery. You angle the barrel and then you stomp your hand on it and it fires it.
So. Yeah, it is very much a an uppercut.
Yeah.
You put you turn the uppercut upside down. And do
it's
that.
So much better than the uppercut though, because you hold it on a surface. So when you hit it, you can actually aim it, unlike the uppercut,
that is so cool.
Which you have to hit upwards with your hand while you're trying to shoot it. It's so stupid.
I actually have one of these. It was the first vintage blaster I ever thrifted for like 25 cents.
Okay, how much can I buy it from you for?
We'll discuss that later.
Anyway, so
I didn't know you guys were all going to talk about the 90s, so I'm going to honor that, and I'm going to say Aerostorm. They only made it 1 year, but they should have continued. They should have continued to freaking make that. They basically teased, like a Balzooka, but arrows, right?
They teased that. If you'll remember from the original like announcement video, you could see in the background they had a couple other vintage blasters. I don't know, because some of the language they were saying made it sound like it would turn into a series of the retro line.
I'm telling you, give me arrows. I want my arrows.
Isn't that like a Balzooka but with arrows? Right? Is what
it's
it is?
A Springer. The Balzooka is a ham. The Aerostorm is a slam fire only Springer, a very strong one at that.
So it actually slams at it, so it pulls the plunger out to its peak instead of just a ham. Okay.
Yeah, it's an actual plunger system blaster. They're amazing for modification, from what I hear. Yeah, they're so cool.
It's very cool.
I have to have one, but I would love to
it's
find
it. It's very
one.
Cool.
Now, even luckier to find arrows, of course. But
yeah, you got to find it with the arrows. That's the tough spot. We are lucky that we found you and had you on the podcast tonight. Not enough. Thank you so much for being here.
We're lucky
here.
We found the end of the show, because we could talk forever.
We absolutely could, but we're going on 2 hours. We haven't had a podcast this long in a while, but it's been really, really great spending all that time having you on.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with you.
Will you please, for anybody here who has made it to the end of the podcast and doesn't already know about your awesome channel, please tell people where they can find you.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, we're not on all socials, but we're on Instagram as @NotEnoughNerf, Twitter or X now, @NotEnoughNerf, and of course YouTube @NotEnoughNerf. So give us a little sub, give us a little like, check out some videos. I appreciate y'all so much. This is a great community. You guys are family. I appreciate you having me on the show.
We'll have the links down in the description, of course. And as always, if you're listening to this on Saturday, be sure to check out VileMod's stream on Twitch, going on probably right now.
Right now. Absolutely.
Most likely. And check out Jolt on YouTube. I am still writing a song every day for the next couple days as of this listening. So please check me out @KineticTurtle. And of course, my Nerf stuff @FamilyFoamSport. And
eating hot glue.
Yep, as usual. And that's it. That's a podcast. Thank you, y'all, so much. Thanks again, Naga.
Guys, catch episode 15 if you're looking at this before you see the news. Catch episode 15 of P-Triple-N. Let's get it. Oh my God. Sometimes my YouTube feed is so bizarre. I'll get the notification for the podcast and not the news. I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah. Well, bringing it back full circle, right? Because nobody knows how YouTube works.
Yeah.
Including it's YouTube.
Insert X-Files sound clip.